Listen, let's go to prayer here. Let's ask for God's help as we get into the Word this morning. Heavenly Father, we are grateful just that we have your Word written down, that you inspired the apostles to write these things down. You inspired those who wrote the Old Testament. These are your very words. We don't have to wonder if they're opinion or not, that they're not man's opinions. They are men moved by the Holy Spirit who wrote down exactly what you wanted them to write down. And so thank you, God, that we have your word. Thank you that as we come to it this morning, you want to use it to build us up. You want to use it to encourage our hearts. You want to use it to challenge us in our faith. Lord, I pray just that the result of our time together in the word, with our faith would be grown and would be stretched, and help us to, I want you to be glorified, Father, through this time. And I pray that your Spirit would fill me, that I would say what you want me to say and emphasize what you want me to emphasize, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. So this is our fourth and final message on our passage that we're focusing in on as a church this year. We'll have a number of different touch points with this passage, and you may remember this Acts 2:42. And today we're talking about a church devoted to prayer. And Acts 2:42 says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." And so today we're talking about them, the church, being devoted to prayer. And so you may have noticed it's actually up on our wall now. And so we've got that verse up there, and that reminds us of what we're focusing in on this year as a body. So there's these four things that the church was devoted to, and we've given a Sunday to each one of those, and today we're talking about the fact that they were devoted to prayer. And so it's interesting that you see that phrase all throughout the book of Acts, right? The book of Acts that gives us the history, if you will, of that first church and the spreading of the gospel and multiple churches being planted and started, right? So take a look at these other verses here. Acts 1:14 says, "They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." So they're constantly gathering together in prayer. And then this other verse here, Acts 6:4, this is when the elders there were struggling with, there was a need in the church, so they addressed the need, but they basically elected some men who were strong in the Lord to address that need, and the reasoning was, it says, "And we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." So this is an important aspect of church leaders' emphasis in their role, is prayer is critical. Prayer is critical. So in the life of the church, and those are just three instances where we see that the church was devoted to prayer. Now, what I want to look at this morning is basically just to see that the prayer life of the New Testament here, it really provides a pattern for us, both in terms of the importance, showing how important prayer is in the life of the church, and also what were some of the things they prayed about. So what were some of the things they prayed about and the importance. So that's kind of where we're headed this morning in our brief time together. All right, and so we're going to see here is that they definitely prayed when they met together. This was a regular thing. We saw that already, but I want to look at verses 12 to 14. Not just 14, Acts 1:12-14, but we're going to take away from this that they prayed when they met together. This is just something they did every time they got together. And so verse 12 says, "Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city." And then it says, "When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. And those present were Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James." They must have had like some sort of a, they took attendance here, right? We got who was there. "They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And so here they are gathered together. So, you know, this is what should happen in the life of the church, right? When you gather together, there should be prayer. There should, in all kinds of forms, right? Sometimes it's just, maybe it's an all-church prayer meeting like we have monthly here, and the second Thursday of every month at 7:15. Or it could be just, you know, after the service, we have prayer over here, offer for the prayer team. Or it could just be, and I see this happening on a regular basis, people just off to the side praying for one another, one-to-one. But it needs to be a regular part of our gatherings is prayer. And so this is important, right? We also see in the book of Acts that they prayed about the selection of Christian leaders. As they were appointing people for different things, different offices in the church. And so we see this in Acts chapter 13, verses 2 to 3. Acts chapter 13, verses 2 to 3. Let's take a look there. It says, "And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off." So God had revealed to them that he had some work for Barnabas and Saul to do, right, as it says there in verse 2, for them to do. And so he said, you know, the Holy Spirit revealed this to him in the process of them fasting and worshiping. I find that interesting. They're seeking the Lord, right? And oftentimes that is what happens with when somebody is fasting, they're maybe seeking the Lord on something. I mean, that would be a whole nother message in itself to just talk about the different reasons why somebody would want to fast. But certainly getting God's direction is one of them. But they laid hands, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. They prayed for them. And so this just makes sense, right? And also when they were going to replace Judas, right? They prayed, they casted lots, they trusted God to direct them in who was going to replace him, right? So this is an important part of the process of appointing leaders in the church is prayer. The church is praying, right? Anytime we submit to the church, you know, someone who's being considered as an elder or a deacon, we say, this is the person. These are those character qualities which they have to meet to serve in that capacity. Would you please pray about this? For us. So they prayed when they met together, and they prayed about selecting Christian leaders, and then they also prayed during persecution. They prayed during persecution. So Acts 12, 1 to 5, we'll take a look at that. It says, "It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them, He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. And when he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. And after arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. And Herod intended to bring him out for the public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him." And, you know, I don't know if you know the rest of the story, right? But he was miraculously released, right? He was miraculously released, if you read on there, and so on. So it's amazing here. The church is gathering together prayer. There's got a crisis going on. One of their leaders has been arrested, right? They fear for his life, and so they're praying for his release. God answers, right? And so I think it's important for us to see that the church gathers together here, right, and prays during that persecution, during this time of crisis, and that's something certainly that every church should do and our church should do is to gather together and pray for these things. Now, and certainly the last but that I'm recording here and have for the message, but they prayed for healing. But there's lots of other prayers that were made. I might mention just a few of them here in a second, but the ones I wanted to delineate here. They prayed for healing. And so we have in Acts 28, here in verses 7 and 8 says, there was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island, and he welcomed us to his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery, and Paul went in to see him, and after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. So God used Paul to pray for this man who was sick. And so and here we see, you know, it was just an individual, right? But what is the church of individuals who know the Lord, right? You have the Spirit of God. In this case, the Lord led Paul to pray for this man's healing, and he was healed, right? And certainly we know that God doesn't heal every time we pray or lay hands on somebody, but we know that he can. We know that he's able, but we trust the outcome of that prayer to him, right? That's what we do. We pray to a God who's able, but we trust the outcome to him, right? Now, so we could go on and on and list all the different ways in which the church prayed. Let me just mention a few more. I mean, it's just amazing here. It says the believers in John Mark's house prayed for Peter when he was in prison, and the Lord delivered him both from prison and from death. That's Acts chapter 12. And then you've got that Peter prayed in Acts chapter 9. He prayed before he raised Dorcas from the dead. And, it just goes on and on. These believers, right? It says there the believers prayed at another prayer meeting in Philippi, and God opened the prison doors in Acts 16. I mean, they just were constantly praying. That's the point, right? So, and so we see that example of that early church, right? So just a statement here. So through prayer, God's people depend on him in everything they do. That's really, isn't it really a sign that we're praying? It means that we need God. We know we need God. That's why we pray. And right, in our prayerlessness as individuals or a church, we're kind of thinking, what that's demonstrating is we don't need God. We think we got this, which is a mistake, right? And we sometimes do that, right? In our humanness, particularly when things are going well, a lot of times we tend to not be as prayerful. And may God help us as individuals and as a church family to see that all times are times of prayer, right? That we need Jesus all the time. We need God's help all the time in every situation. And so, and through prayer is one way we demonstrate our dependence on God. And so we need to make sure that we see that as a necessary thing, not only for individual believers, but for the church as a whole. We want to be a church that's dependent on God. And so let me just mention this verse here. Now, it's about leaders, but I want to focus in on a principle here. It says in Hebrews 13:7, it says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And so I like that verse because in terms of like, you know, we don't need to try to be like other people who are believers, but we need to be ourselves and how God has made us, but we want to imitate their faith, right? And so what I'm saying is, do you see the first century church there? You see all their examples in trusting God and praying about everything? Let's imitate their faith. Let's imitate them. That's what we need to do. We want to imitate their faith. And so, you know, if you want to be encouraged to pray more individually and as a church, I'd say, you know, read about the life of the church. Read about their exemplary faith and trust in God. They certainly had their problems. You read about those. The Bible doesn't hide those problems, right? They're right out there for all of us to read. Okay, but what we need to do is see that there's so much worthy of emulating and imitating. And we need to be, I think, encouraged to imitate their faith. And so, in the spirit of seeing the importance of praying for one another, okay, what I'd like everybody to do now is pull those prayer cards back up into your lap, And by the way, there are pens too, right? We have pens available. They're back there. If you need a pen to write with, you need a writing utensil because we're writing these down, okay? So you're going to need a writing utensil. So raise your hand. They're underneath the bulletin board there. And so I'm just going to take a minute or two. I'm going to fill mine out right here. I've got my card. All right. And so just a minute, take a minute and write down, because what we're doing is we're seeing that the church of God here in the first century was definitely emphasized the devotedness to prayer, right? So we're writing our request down here that'll be prayed over and over many, many, many times at the prayer vigil. So we're going to act out the devotedness to prayer in that prayer vigil, but we need the request. So just take a minute of your time here. And again, if you're online watching, you can take time to write an email, or you can chat privately with the person who's hosting the live stream, and they will write out a card for you. Okay, so just take a minute, and we'll do that. And notice it says praise reports too. It says praise reports, things that you want to praise God for and you want others to hear about. You can write those down as well. So here in just a little bit too, we can pass that basket around, that where the prayer request cards go. Thank you. Anybody else, if you got yours done, we can pass the basket around there. Bob's making his way around there. Thank you, Bob, for collecting those. Again, if you're online, you can send your request to info@darbycreek.org, or you can chat privately and just hit the prayer request button with the person that's hosting the live stream. Again, not your only opportunity to fill out a prayer request card, but I thought we're talking about praying as a church today, and this is just the perfect time to start this off, right? And so encourage you, you know, again, if you don't happen to be done, that's okay. You're just on your way out. The basket will be out there by underneath the bulletin board. And so, you know, and again, as you leave, feel free to take a few cards with you. And you might just spend some time in your devotional time this week saying, what are some, maybe the people around you that are part of your life that need prayer as well as your own life? And just, you know, there is no limit, right, to the things to the number of cards you can fill out there. So thank you guys for participating in that with me. So not only do we have the example there in the book of Acts, right? Not only do we have the example there in the book of Acts of just all these illustrations of them praying and individuals praying and the church praying together, but we also have all these letters that the apostles wrote, right? And that they in the letters themselves, we see, for example, like the Apostle Paul, he'll put prayers in the letters, right? And we also get instruction in these letters from the apostles about the importance and aspects of prayer itself. And so it didn't stop there. It was this teaching was of about prayer, and the importance of it was continued with the apostles' teaching, and was exemplified in their own lives. And so, I mean, you want to know, and this I've done this myself. There's actually a study, and I think our women's prayer group is actually using the book by D.A. Carson. It's where he goes through the New Testament letters with Paul's prayers. And it's a study on Paul's prayers. Because sometimes when you don't know what to pray, you can't go wrong with praying scripture prayers, things that Paul prayed for individuals and so on. And they're really good God-focused prayers. And so it's I don't remember the title of the book now, but if you look up D.A. Carson, D. Pierce, what is it? Praying with Paul. Okay, Praying with Paul by D.A. Carson. Yeah, great resource if you want to learn praying some of those Pauline prayers and understanding what he was getting at. Okay? Now, so as an example of some of this teaching, I just have a couple of verses I want to look at. All right? So again, we've been exhorted this morning to say, let's imitate the faith of the first century church. Let's look at their prayers and say, man, I want to have a faith like they did. I want to be given to prayer and devoted to it like they were. And so when we take a look here, what do we have? That's the wrong verse. Yeah, sorry about that. Let me read for you. It's supposed to be Colossians. That was me. I'm the one that put that in there. Colossians. It's supposed to be Colossians 4:2-4. So let me just read that for you. I think it was on Acts, and so I didn't change the book of the Bible. So we got Colossians chapter 4, starting with verse 2. All right, so it says that, he says, continue steadfastly in prayer. Right, so this is Paul writing this letter. He says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. So when you hear that phrase, continue steadfastly in prayer, I think of that's what it means, one aspect of what it means to be devoted to prayer, is continue in it, right? Don't give up. Don't give up praying for things. Don't give up praying for people. You don't know the timing. You don't know how God's using these prayers. You don't know how spiritual warfare enters into that battle in the heavenlies for what God is doing and how he might be using your prayer to accomplish what he wants. Right? So part of being devoted to prayer is continuing in it as he exhorts these believers in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Let me make mention of something here before I talk about the with thanksgiving part. You know, we need to remember here that the exhortation in James chapter 4, verse 2, which says, you do not have because you do not ask. Right? So, maybe God's not answering a prayer because you're not praying, right? So there's an aspect of prayer is God saying, ask me. You don't have because you don't ask. And so there's that. So we need to ask. And then We have to remember, though, that when we ask, right, that in Ephesians 1:11, it says God works all things according to the counsel of his will. He works all things according to the counsel of his will. That's what it says in Ephesians 1:11. So you have to balance that, where he says, you know, keep asking, you know, because it's possible that you're not getting, accomplishing things in prayer because you're not praying. But then also you have to leave it in his hands. You have to leave it in his sovereign hands. He works all things according to his will. But we do know, and this is what we have to remember, this is what should keep our prayer hot in the church, is that you don't know how God's going to use your prayers to accomplish his will. So we need to see it as critical that we pray as he leads us to pray for things, right? Because you don't know what he's going to do with that prayer to accomplish his will. And God has made it so that he uses our prayers to accomplish his will. That's it. I mean, we get to play, so to speak, right? We get to participate in the ministry that God is doing through prayer. And I want to just see that, make sure we realize that when we pray things, right, we need to keep praying about them, but we also need to make sure that we are submitted to the will of God, right? Your will, Father, not my own, right? We want your will to be done. And there are some really good things that I'm sure that God would have us pray that maybe just aren't his will or his timing and so on yet, right? Or maybe it's just, no, that's going to be a no. And we don't understand why it's a no, right? And so we have to remember that balance there, the importance of asking, but also that God is sovereign and he's working all things according to his will. Now, back to that Colossians 4, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving, right? And then it says there in verse 3, it says, at the same time, listen to Paul here, at the same time, pray also for us. He's putting a prayer request down here in the letter, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Isn't that interesting? And that prayer is like, man, pray that God would give me opportunities for the gospel. That should be our daily prayer. Just let that be the prayer of the church. Lord, give me opportunities. Let there be an open door that I can share Christ with my coworkers, my family members, my neighbors, my schoolmates, whatever, whoever. Because if you have a biblical worldview, you'll realize God has chosen you at this time in history to live where you live and to be where you are, even geographically. That has been ordained by God. That's very purposeful. So I've got a purpose here. At this time, in this place. And so we want to pray evangelistically, if you will. Pray for open doors. Pray, God, give me wisdom on how to love this person, to show them a love the way that they need, so that this would open their heart to the love of Jesus. I want to encourage you to not give up on your prayers for people in this regard. And I want to encourage you with this testimony from 1844. It was a while ago. But this brother's name was George Mueller, which some of you have probably heard of. George Mueller is known for his prayer and his trust in God. Listen to what he says here. It says, in November 1844, I began to pray for the conversion of 5 individuals. I prayed every day without one single intermission, whether sick or in health or in land or in sea, and whatever the pressure of my engagements might be. 18 months elapsed before the first of the 5 was converted. I thanked God and prayed for the others. 5 years lapsed, and then the second was converted. I thanked God and prayed for the other three. Day by day, I continued to pray for them, and six more passed before the third was converted, 6 more years. It says, I thanked God for the three and went on praying for the other two. These two remain unconverted. The man to whom God, in the riches of his grace, has given tens of thousands of answers to prayer in the self-same day or hour in which they were offered, has been praying day by day for nearly 36 years for the conversion of those two people. And yet they remain unconverted. For next November, it will be 36 years since I began to pray for their conversion. But I hope in God. I pray on and look yet for the answer. The person that wrote this biography says this. Of the two individuals still unconverted at the time of this sermon that was written, one became a Christian before Mueller's death, and the other a few years later. Just amazing. Amazing. Again, in God's sovereign will. And that just urges me to not give up. To not give up praying for people. Right? No matter how far they might seem from God, we not give up. Okay? And so that's just a wonderful exhortation. Now, let me just mention two things, and I'm going to stop here, but about that Colossians 4:2. So we've got this, you know, continue steadfastly in prayer. Don't give up praying for the things that God lays on your heart and for the people in your life. But to pray, be watchful in prayer with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, he says. And I want to share with you just two things that Sam Storms, another pastor, points out about that aspect of praying with thanksgiving. Continuing, you know, being watchful in prayer with thanksgiving. And the one is, he says, we need to be reminded, you know, that which will help us with thanksgiving, that God hears us. Be thankful. God hears your prayers. Right? And he mentions Isaiah 30, verses 18 and 19, which says the following. It says, therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. Then it goes on to say, he will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. As soon as he hears it, he answers you. And so it's like God hears us. You know, we have this wonderful privilege now because of what Christ has done, right? We have open access to God because of what Jesus has done. And with that, we need to have confidence that God hears our prayers, right? That we have this unfettered access to the throne room of God. And that should encourage us. That's something that, and no matter what's going on, as we're praying, we take these to God. Thank you, God, that you hear me. That I know my prayers just aren't going up into the air. And that's something to thank God for. Something to thank God for. The other thing, the last thing I'll just mention, there are more, but this is the last one due to time. It says, being watchful in prayer with thanksgiving. What's going to help us with that, to be thankful in our prayers, is that God, our God, is able to do anything. I mean, you're praying to someone who can actually do anything. And so there is nothing too difficult for him. And so that should encourage our hearts. They say, thank you, God. You know, I'm coming to you with this thing. It seems larger than life. This is not fixable in the human realm, but not for God. Ephesians chapter 3, let me go there. It'll be the last verse we share here this morning. So Ephesians 3, very common verse when we think about prayer life, I think. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So just think about that. To him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or even think. I could think some wild stuff. How about you? Outlandish things. Are just like, you know, we can imagine all kinds of things. He's saying, you know, well, God could do far beyond that. God can do far beyond that. You know, I mean, so we need to realize that should encourage us. We should go to him in prayer with thanksgiving, just even knowing just those two things that he hears us and that he's able to do beyond all that we ask or think. And so I hope that, you know, I just wanted to kind of look at it, just a little sampling of what the apostles are teaching us in God's word about prayer. And that's one verse. Well, actually, I suppose three, technically, because I talked about the evangelism request. But may God help us. And my prayer is not that anybody would be burdened by the message today, like, you know, feel burdened, but be encouraged. That's what we should. We should be encouraged to pray and just to spur one another on, to continue to pray for each other. And as a church, and that's why I really like having this annual 12-hour prayer vigils, because it just reminds us that when you start praying through those prayer cards, you're like, so some people you don't run in their circles in the church, even just in a small church, you're like, I didn't know they had that going on. Wow. You know, and so it unites us too. And God blesses united prayer. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, just thank you for that first church there in the book of Acts, that first century church, and how all throughout the life of that church, they were just given to prayer. Situations and crises would come up, they were on their knees. And they saw you answer many prayers. And Lord, just thank you, God, that we want to imitate their faith, God. We want to trust you, knowing that you're able to do beyond all that we'd ask or think. And also just knowing that because of Jesus, and if we have a relationship with God through Jesus, we have unfettered access into the throne room of God, and we can talk to you unhindered because Jesus has forgiven us. In your sight, Lord, we are washed clean. And so, Lord, we are so blessed, so thankful that we have access and you hear every word we utter to you. We ask it all in Jesus' name.